everyone, and welcome back. We had a minor change of plans for this episode. Regardless, I hope you like it. A huge, huge thank you to all of those who tuned in for our first episode. We worked really, really hard to bring this back. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Today's episode is all about myths and misconceptions surrounding sickle cell anemia, Rare Disease Day, and how you can support sickle cell programs within your region or even us, the American Sickle Cell Anemia Association. Without further ado, I'm Lucy, your host. You're listening to Sickle Talk, and let's talk about sickle cell. Did you know that February 29th is Rare Disease Day? Rare Disease Day is held on the last day of February to raise awareness for rare diseases. Introduced in 2008, it was implemented to help build a community that is global and diverse. It's also meant to assist and work towards equity and equality in healthcare, social opportunities, and access to diagnosis, treatment, and therapies. Sickle cell anemia is considered a rare disease in the United States. However, it is also considered the most commonly diagnosed blood disorder. Now, what's considered a rare disease? Let's look at some numbers. A rare disease is considered rare when it affects fewer than 1 in 2,000 people. 1 out of 365 African Americans or Blacks are diagnosed with disease, and 1 out of 12 are diagnosed with trait. African Americans, Blacks are the most affected race diagnosed when considering other races, but they are certainly not the only ones affected. The next commonly affected populace is Hispanics and Latinos. Sickle cell disease affects 1 out of 16,300. In Ohio alone, about 136 newborns were identified with a disease variant according to the Ohio Department of Health Sickle Cell Annual Report in 2021. With these numbers, it's confirmed by the definition given by the Rare Disease Day organization that sickle cell anemia and its variants are rare diseases. Our last podcast, we briefly discussed how the newborn screening identifies newborns with diseases. In Ohio, the newborn screening program screens thousands of babies a year and makes sure that those newborns with abnormalities in their initial testings are referred to organizations like ours, the American Sickle Cell Anemia Association, to receive confirmatory testing, education, and counseling. Being a rare disease does contribute to the misinformation of the illness. Other factors can be seen in popular media, like medical dramas, social media, nighttime television, and medical and racial bias. These issues facilitate even more misinformation and misrepresentation of the disease and its variants. We also touched on this briefly in our last podcast too. The ASCAA was founded because of the mortality and morbidity rates in the African American Black populace here in Ohio. Sickle Talk wasn't only designed with this in mind, but also to make sure that accurate information was readily available in formats easily accessible to the everyday person. It's also backed by an organization with more than 50 years of experience solely devoted to individuals, families, and the population at risk. At the American Sickle Cell Anemia Association, we've run into every myth, question, and common misconception about sickle cell anemia. Even today, with the bountiful resources that the internet provides, myth and misconceptions abound. Even in the medical field, clinicians' misconceptions are a task that the ASCAA strives to eliminate. Studies have shown that many of those who suffer with sickle cell anemia are overlooked and often marginalized. This all comes back to misconceptions and common myths surrounding the disease. Some of these issues are surrounding suspected medication overusage. Let's break down some misconceptions and myths. Myth: sickle cell anemia can be caught, like a cold, or diagnosed later in life. This is probably a pretty big one, actually. The truth is, sickle cell anemia is genetic, meaning that this is an illness that's diagnosed at birth. Do you remember sitting in science class and being taught about the Punnett square? If you don't, no problem. We'll break it down. Each cell has a plan. This plan is given out by the genetic code. The genetic code essentially gives instructions to your cells, telling them what to make and what to do. A person, you sitting here listening to, one person has 46 chromosomes. They've got 23 chromosomes from mom, and 23 chromosomes from father. These chromosomes or genes, which are passed through the DNA, tell a body what eye color, what hair color, what biological gender, and what skin color a person has. This also determines what blood type a person has. A mutation is what alters the genetic code and the genes that make an individual unique. Sickle cell anemia is a mutation in those chromosomes. Myth: you must be black to have sickle cell anemia. This is a massive one that we get all the time. Truth is, sickle cell anemia affects all racial and ethnic groups. This myth is our most common one that we encounter almost on a daily basis here at the American Sickle Cell Anemia Association. While it is true African American blacks are the largest racial group affected by this, all racial groups are affected. We see Europeans, Asians, South Asians, Native American, Indigenous, Middle Easterns, Hispanics and Latinos, and Mediterranean descents. This goes back to the sickle cell anemia being a genetic illness and why family genetic counseling is important when you're planning your family. Myth: sickle cell trait, sometimes referred to as sickle cell carrier, isn't important and doesn't do anything. Every year, researchers, physicians, and other medical professionals in medical studies learn that while rare, those with sickle cell trait can have symptoms. This is one of the driving forces as to why high school and university level sports require physicals and sickle cell anemia testing being on the physical for tests to be done. It's also important to know and understand what it means for you and your future children, because sickle cell anemia is genetic. There is a possibility of sickle cell being passed down to future offsprings. Myth: sickle cell anemia pain isn't that bad. Truth: also known as pain crises or vaso-occlusive pain, it can be really severe, 10 out of 10 on the pain scale. However, pain is subjective. Vaso-occlusive pain occurs when sickled red blood cells block blood flow. It can cause organ, bone, and tissue damage. There are different types of vaso-occlusive pain crisis. Acute chest syndrome, or ACS, and splenic sequestration falls under this too. Strokes are a common side effect of sickle cell disease, which can present with pain, most commonly severe headaches. Unfortunately, racial disparities hinder pain treatment, as well as racial biases rooted within the medical field. Patient advocacy and patient rights are on the forefront of social services supplied by the ASCAA. So much so that we work with diversity and inclusion departments in hospitals and clinics, as well as do presentations about common myths, just like this one, and misconceptions surrounding pain and vaso-occlusive crisis in sickle cell anemia. What can you do to help combat misconceptions and even support sickle cell projects on Rare Disease Day, or actually, in fact, every day? Fundraising is a big one. American Sickle Cell Anemia Association is a registered 501c3 nonprofit. It can supply services at no charge to patients and consumers, thanks to the continued generosity of the public and private donors. I'll go through how you can donate towards the end of this episode. Blood drives are another huge one for the sickle cell anemia community. Blood transfusion are an effective treatment for sickle cell anemia. Unfortunately, and I'm sure you guys hear this all the time, blood donations are at a low. According to the American Red Cross, those with sickle cell disease may need as many as 100 units of blood each year. You can find out if there are any blood drives happening in your region by using the American Red Cross blood services and putting in your zip code so you can make an appointment or donate. Or you can create a blood drive by partnering with the American Red Cross or other blood donation sites that can assist. Being a part of the bone marrow registry is also an option for people who wish to be more involved in the sickle cell community. Health fairs and public education are the bread and butter of the ASCAA. If you're able to create an event that spreads awareness or just a community resource event, inviting local clinics, hospitals, and community programs such as a sickle cell anemia can make sure that sickle cell isn't overlooked. Politics are never a favorite option. However, visiting, writing, or talking with your local legislators to make sure that programs such as the American Sickle Cell Anemia Association remain in the community is massively important. National leaders are often overlooked when considering how awareness, funds, and education is spread and allocated. Sickle cell anemia is severely underfunded, and sharing your concerns, your story, and why the programs and resources specifically catering to sickle cell anemia is important to maintain within those communities. Supporting a sickle cell agency. This one is a given, but whenever we listen to the incredible and often sad stories of our patients, we hear one repeating theme. You don't hear a lot about sickle cell anemia, and when you do, it's negative. Unfortunately, this is true. Supporting nonprofits and community-based programs make sure that they remain in the communities and active. Before we end today's podcast, ASCAA is continually raising funds to help support our communities both locally and nationwide. ASCAA's services are offered at no cost to the patients and consumers, and this includes counseling, supportive services, programs, testing, and other resources. We have a few t-shirt campaigns going on Bonfire, which raises funds for us. A link will be provided either above or below in the description box, wherever that may be. You can find us on several charity nonprofit sites, such as GuideStar and Charity Navigator. Donations are accepted through PayPal, Venmo, Charity Navigator, Benevity, United Way Foundation, and Meta Foundation. Meta Fundraising, which is Facebook and Instagram. If you're donating through certain foundations, be sure to specify where you wish for your donation to go. You can also run a fundraising campaign yourself in support of the American Sickle Cell Anemia Association or your local sickle cell program. You can reach out to us by using our contact form on www.ascaa.org or by calling 216-229-8600. We have events happening all the time, so please follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We have one coming up, so keep your eyes peeled. Calling all artists with sickle cell anemia. This is your time to shine. We have an open submission for stories, drawings, and other forms of art to display here on Sickle Talk. Email us for more information at sickletalk@ascaa.org. Podcasts are released monthly. Sometimes, like this month, we might be cutting it pretty close. So there are two times dedicated to when podcasts are released, either the last Friday of the month or on the last day of the month. I believe that ends our episode today. Thank you guys for joining us. Actually, on a side note, if any of you guys have questions about sickle cell anemia or our organization, American Sickle Cell Anemia Association, you may send your inquiries to sickletalk@ascaa. And until next time, I am Lucy, your host. Thank you for joining me, and you've been listening to Sickle Talk. Sickle Talk is owned and operated by the American Sickle Cell Anemia Association. It's funded by viewers and listeners like you. Thank you.